10 a.m., you do have it tuned to KBOO Portland. Air Cascadia is off today. Instead, we will hear Between the Lines with a look at community pulling together to offer clean water to families affected by natural gas fracking pollution, and an interview about the campaign for a constitutional amendment reversing the Citizens United ruling. At 10:15 on Locust Focus, host Barbara Bernstein speaks with environment reporter Mark Schliefstein about the impending disasters facing Louisiana and possible solutions that could mitigate some of the damage inflicted by canals, drilling, dredging, and fracking. At 11 on Health Watch, host Dr. David Naiman speaks with Dr. Lainey Simpson about her book, Dr. Lainey's No-Nonsense Bone Health Guide. And at 11:30 on the Radio Zine, host Kristen Yount speaks with Peter Spendelow, the president of Northwest Veg, and Bonnie Hildebrandt, event coordinator, about the upcoming Veg Fest, the environmental impacts of food choices, and the benefits of plant-based diets. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a KBOO member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor The Ghosts of Tonkin on Saturday, September 27th at 7:30 p.m. This award-winning play dramatizes the behind-the-scenes story of how public officials brought about one of the most devastating chapters in the history of the United States, the Vietnam War, and of Oregon Senator Wayne Morse, one of only two congressmen to vote against the Tonkin Resolution. There will be a discussion following the play, moderated by KBOO's Joanne Hardesty, and includes playwright Steve Lyons and others. Again, that's The Ghosts of Tonkin, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Hall on the Portland State University campus, 1620 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on The Ghosts of Tonkin can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And now we will go to Between the Lines.
As the Marcellus Shale gas fracking boom in western Pennsylvania continues, more and more residents are finding their formerly pure well water contaminated. Most of the contamination has not been proven to be caused by the gas industry, but residents say their problems started when the gas infrastructure came in, wells, processing facilities, and compressor stations, along with a huge increase in heavy truck traffic. One group of affected residents lives in a low-income neighborhood of about 200 homes called the Woodlands in Butler County, surrounded by 65 wells within a 2-mile radius. John Stoltz, a researcher from Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, interviewed 3/4 of these residents and found 40% reported problems with their water. Testing revealed the presence of high amounts of certain chemicals, but none that are among the most toxic. Gas drilling company Rex Energy and the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection determined that residents' well water didn't differ significantly from pre-drill samples taken by the company, although Stoltz notes that the wells were not tested when fracking was occurring. Further, the DEP did not test for all chemicals related to the fracking process, and the company has not revealed its pre-drill testing results. 9 families from the Woodlands filed lawsuits against Rex Energy last year, claiming the company's practices contributed to the decline of their water quality, health, and quality of life. The residents were left to deal with the problem on their own until several area churches got together to set up a clean water bank. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus just completed a reporting trip to the area where she spoke with many affected residents and Reverend Lee Dreyer, pastor of the White Oak Spring Presbyterian Church in Butler County, which houses the water bank. Here he describes how the water bank works, whom it serves, and what kind of resolution the affected families are seeking.
Every Monday, we alternate between mornings and evenings for those people who work. We open our back door here for people to come and pick up crates or cartons of gallon jugs of water. Depending on the size of the family, depends on how much they get, but it's usually 20 to 40 gallons per family per week. We usually get around 300 gallons per week, and we distribute, depending on the week, around 300 to 400 gallons of water.
How many families participate?
Right now, and I'm just going to give you a ballpark figure, approximately 35 families. We started off with 11 about 2.5 years ago, and since that time there have been more and more and more families whose water has been affected by the fracking. So we're going on 3.5, 4 years that these people have to deal with tainted, polluted, smelly, discolored water coming out of their spigots and shower heads.
I mean, it starts to get really expensive to have to buy water. They're getting it donated, but whoever's buying it, you know, the people who are volunteering, you know, giving money to do it, it's ongoing. It starts to get expensive.
Yeah, it's about $1 a gallon, and we have been blessed with some really good folks, as I said, individuals and some churches in the area, mostly Presbyterian, have been really, really gracious. And since we started, we have not run out of money. We've gotten low, but then God is good, and we get some influx of cash that has helped us out. And so we've never had a week that we weren't able to distribute the water.
What do you see down the road? I mean, just more and more families needing the water and ongoing donations to help them out. Do you see, or do you know of efforts to try to change the game in a way that people would be able to get their water functioning again in a way that they could drink it?
Well, the goal was that we would be done with this by this time. We were hoping that they could have water piped into their area by the local governments, both county and the township governments, but they have not been very responsive. I think they would wish that the people in the Woodlands would just go away and they didn't have to worry about this. These are tax-paying citizens. They work, they pay their taxes, but been completely ignored by the powers that be. And so we were hoping we'd be done, but there seems to be no end in sight. We hear rumors that there's going to be money provided by either the gas companies themselves or by government, that they'll be able to get the water pipes laid and then they'd hook up to those water pipes and they would be able to turn on their faucets and get nice, clean, cold water coming out of there. But so far it hasn't happened. So there is no end in sight. We will keep going as long as we can, as long as we have the money and as long as there's a need.
So you said right in the beginning that this water crisis was caused by fracking, but in fact there's no proof of that. Isn't that correct? Like the companies say that it's not them, and I don't think there's been proof of that they're responsible. Is that right?
You're
smiling.
You're talking to the wrong person. Of course, the gas companies are going to deny it, and those who would support them would deny it. I have my suspicions because of just what I've observed. I've seen water the color of apple cider coming out of people's faucets. I have seen water, in one case, the color of used motor oil coming out of there. And others will say, well, it's not the gas company's fault. I have my strong suspicions. I've also am very much concerned about the air quality, what is spewing forth from the drilling sites. It came home very closely within the past few months because there is a new drilling site just about less than a quarter mile from where we live here in the township, where my wife and two kids live. And I am certainly concerned about the quality of the air also. What I've told lots of people is I'm all in favor as far as becoming energy independent and all that and providing jobs for people. I'm all for it, but it has to be safe. It has to be. And thus far, I have not seen the proof that it is absolutely 100% safe.
That was Reverend Lee Dreyer, pastor of the White Oak Spring Presbyterian Church that hosts a water bank for residents in the Woodlands in western Pennsylvania. For more information on groups concerned about health and safety issues related to natural gas fracking, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org. As momentum has gathered to overturn the controversial Supreme Court rulings in the Citizens United and McCutcheon cases that opened the floodgates of unlimited and unaccountable money in U.S. election campaigns, activists across the country have been working hard to raise the issue at both the state and federal levels. On September 8th, the U.S. Senate voted 79-18 to allow debate and a vote on the proposed Democracy for All constitutional amendment that would overturn much of the campaign finance precedents set forth by the conservative majority in the High Court's recent rulings. The amendment, sponsored by Senator Tom Udall, Democrat of New Mexico, would authorize Congress in the states to regulate and limit fundraising and spending on federal candidates, and would also prevent the Supreme Court from reversing future campaign finance regulations passed by Congress. Although Senate Democrats temporarily overcame a possible Republican filibuster, the amendment will likely be defeated because a two-thirds vote is required in both the Senate and the House, followed by two-thirds of the 50 states ratifying the measure in order to become part of the U.S. Constitution. Senator Udall, lead sponsor of the bill, said before the vote, quote, "We are here to say as strongly and forcefully as we can, corporations are not people, and we're here to take back our democracy from billionaires." Republicans counter by asserting that campaign spending is a form of free speech. Your reporter spoke with Jonah Minkoff-Zern, director of Public Citizens Democracy is for People campaign, the group which turned in 3 million petition signatures supporting the Democracy for All amendment.
I mean, it's an exciting moment, the Democracy for All amendment. We're going to get a vote in the Senate. We overcame the Republican filibuster with a 79-19 vote. You know, what this means is that our voices, you know, so many of your listeners, I'm sure, and so many people across the country have been working for the last four, almost 5 years in Citizens United, and many of us for long before that, to overturn the idea that money is speech, that government can't regulate election spending, and the idea of corporate personhood, that that corporations have the same rights as individuals. So the Democracy for All amendment, it gets close to addressing both those things. It doesn't go far enough in addressing corporate personhood, but what it says is that government has a right to regulate campaign contributions, whether it's from an individual, whether it's from a corporation, whether it's from any entity, that government can place reasonable limitations on campaign contributions. The second thing it does is it says that government can place different regulations on individuals and corporations, so it can up to completely eliminating the ability of corporations to contribute. So in essence, it addresses corporate personhood in election spending. But as many people want, it doesn't go further to say corporations don't have the same rights as individuals in any area. Like, for example, placing a tobacco industry billboard outside an elementary school and saying that's protected speech right. It wouldn't prevent a corporation from saying it has the same rights as individuals in that area. But it's an exciting moment that we have 50 senators who have already expressed their support, 49 of them as sponsors for this vote. And the remaining five Democrats have all committed to voting yes on the amendment. So we're in a place where we have 55 senators in support, which is a long way from a few years ago where we had two or three senators in support of an amendment. And it's because of the massive movement that's taking place.
What is necessary to pass a constitutional amendment here in the U.S.? What is the process, if you could lay it out for us, beyond the Senate vote that I believe they have to attain a two-thirds majority?
That's right. Well, there needs to be a two-thirds majority. There also needs to be three-fourths of the states to ratify it after it passes through both houses of Congress with a two-thirds majority. So we're not going to get that this time, or we don't believe we are. We're pushing hard, and everyone around the country is pushing hard to round up 12 more votes for this time, but we don't believe that's going to happen, and we don't think it's going to hear the light of day in the House this year. But we're working to get to that point. And, you know, every generation has had its constitutional amendment, and we see this as our generation's.
That was Jonah Minkoff-Zern, director of Public Citizens Democracy is for People campaign. Find more information on groups working to overturn the Supreme Court Citizens United ruling by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Triangle Productions premiere of Tick, Tick, Boom, a play by Jonathan Larson. Tick, Tick, Boom is a three-chapter pop-rock musical about facing crossroads in life and holding on to your dreams that was first produced off-Broadway in 2001. Tick, Tick, Boom plays at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland, from September 4th through the 27th. More information about Tick, Tick, Boom can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Northwest Connector, connecting riders to the Oregon coast through daily round-trip bus routes from Portland, Salem, and Corvallis. Northwest Connector buses are equipped with bike racks and offer 3-day and 7-day passes with transfers up and down the coast. Schedules and trip planner at nwconnector.net.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. The combined results of unfettered industrialization and climate change are thrusting the